Today's scripture is from Ephesians chapter 6. Finally, be strong in the Lord and in his mighty power. Put on the full armor of God so that you can take your stand against the devil's schemes. For our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against rulers, against the authorities, against the powers of this dark world, and against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realms. And pray in the Spirit on all occasions with all kinds of prayers and requests. With this in mind, be alert and always keep on praying for the Lord's people. Pray also for me that whenever I speak, words may be given me so that I will fearlessly make known the mystery of the gospel. This is the word of the Lord.
Good morning. We've been in a People of Peace series where we've been looking at how God's called the church to be a people of peace, an agent of redemption and renewal in the world. And so over this month, we've had a number of guest speakers cover different areas where we can be attentive to being agents of God's peace. And today we have someone who's known to us, but he's typically been behind the piano. But for the first time, we're just an honor to have Ray Jackson come and give the word to us today. So let's just welcome him and bless him. Thanks, Ray. Come on forward.
Oh. All right, this came so quickly. Good morning. I am, first of all, honored, privileged to be with you this morning. Usually I am over on the piano, and so I look forward to being in this space with you. I want to thank first Pastor Andrew, and I want to thank you all for having me back. I'm honored again, and it's a privilege to be with this family. I always consider this a family because we are family in Christ. I want to publicly apologize. You all don't know this, but this has been a long 2 weeks for me. Just do a lot of things, and your pastor and your leadership team has bared with me. Is I have been a little more tardy on some of the things that I've done, but your pastor and your leadership team has been more than warm with me and gracious to me as I have moved through this. And so I want to thank him publicly for walking with me through this moment. I had a concert on Friday, and it has been a long, tedious road. I was sick before this, and so I was going through a lot of different things, but your pastor is an amazing pastor. And can you just do this for me? Send him some love and clap it up for your pastor and your leadership team, because he's amazing. I like to always share with you that you can find out more about me, as I know people like to look up who's talking to them, but you can look online at Ray Jackson. My full name is Ramon Jackson, but my pseudonym name is Ray Jackson, and you can find me at all of those places on social media, the music that I have out there. In particular, there's a song I'll reference in the scripture called Breathe and Rock. I was able to perform it on Fox 5 on Friday, and so you can find that, you'll hear that song and the words in that song on any streaming platform. And then lastly, a note about my clothing today. I am wearing a hoodie. I know that for some folks that is so odd to be preached to by a person in a hoodie. My hoodie was a hoodie that was made specific for me a few years ago by a friend of mine. And the hoodie is Peter 4:8, love conquers a multitude of sins. So that is what my hoodie says. I'm also wearing a hoodie to remind myself as I preach this particular sermon. We know that in this country, black men in hoodies often is seen in a certain light. And so I remind myself and I remind the world and the church that all black men in hoodies are not a threat to existence. And so that is one of the reasons why I purposely wore a hoodie this morning. Amen. If we could just take a moment and breathe, because I know that this might be a tough sermon. So if we could just take a moment and just breathe in And then exhale. And if we could breathe in again. And then exhale. One for the Father, one for the Son, and one more for the Holy Spirit. Breathe in. And then exhale. God, I ask that you be with us this morning. I ask that you open our ears so that we can hear from you and you only. God, that as I speak only the words that you have given me. That your Holy Spirit wrestle with us individually and then collectively as a family. That you fill us, that we are able to move the things we might disagree with in order to hear what you are saying to us in unity. God, be with us. And if it's okay, God, convict us, challenge us, so that it will lead to peace. God, we thank you because we are faithful that you are always with us. In the name of Jesus, we all say, amen. My title for you this morning is, I am weak, but I am hopeful. I am weak, but I am hopeful. The scripture has been read for you, but I will repeat one line from the scripture, Ephesians 6, and that's verse 13. Verse 19, where it says, pray also for me that whenever I speak, words may be given me, so that I will fearlessly make known the mystery of the gospel, for which I am an ambassador in chains. Pray that I may declare it fearlessly, fearlessly, as I should. Paul, a servant and advocate of the Lord, wrote this letter as he was shackled in cuffs as a prisoner who protested for Jesus and Jesus' people. Knowing and watching not only Jesus, but also his followers who chose to rebel against the established order were being persecuted by the Pharisees throughout the land. Paul is led to call out the spiritual forces of evil that we fight against, acknowledging that we needed Christ to fight the enemy that we could not see, trusting that in our blind weakness, through prayer, God's strength would fight for us. In all truthfulness, family, these last few years have been intense, hard, and just plain out overwhelming. I, an ambassador in chains, have mourned over death. I have grieved over the bloodshed and senseless murders. I have cried and hurt in unendurable pain for myself and for the millions of people who are just tired. I, an ambassador in chains, have wailed, especially for young people who are acting out in protest often throughout history by rioting and looting, but not without cause. They are the children who have been ignored and bullied, abused and molested by their own parents, our country. America, who instead of accepting them and loving them, have responded to the outcries that originate from the abusive shores of America by scolding them and yelling at them and amplifying their degradation, selfishly forcing them to remain silent because to admit that America's quietness has only contributed to the hurt would cause America more shame. And so, America, our parent, much like the Pharisees, has selfishly proclaimed that the unwanted adopted kids who are rising and continuously speaking up should be marked and labeled as the disorderly and the malfunctioning. Oh, the hypocrisy of our parent who has misconducted themselves, who illegally adopted us, who stole us and then murdered our siblings, our aunts, our uncles. America, who abandoned us and threw away our fetuses in the middle of oceans to sharks with no proper last rites because her pregnancy was too rough. Our adopted parent, America, who reached deep into another woman's womb during the gestation of migration and immigration to snatch out the embryos of my ancestors only to place her premature babies right into the chains of slavery and onto the chopping boards. It's that America, and its hypocrisy, stands in total disregard of his sins, and it now fails to call out the atrocities of its past. Instead, America, he alludes that its abused children have no right to scream and yell or to break down the very streets that were built on our scared, beaten, and bloody backs. I, an ambassador in chains, I'm one of those children, appointed to call out the wrongs of the world, to identify the powers and the rulers of darkness, the evil mentality and presence of spiritual forces that enable oppression and yet simultaneously proclaim the good news of Christ, the redemption of his blood and his merciful forgiveness. But God, I am weak. I am weak. My adoptive parent has chased me as Saul chased David and launched spears of bullets at my head. God, I am weak. The chains of injustice are too tight and they are depriving me of a pulse. I suffocate in the silence of willful negligence. I am smothered by America's denial of racism and I stifle in the screams of from decades of systematic oppression. I, an ambassador of Christ, am drowning in the policies of tyranny that refrain me from the opportunities of equality and deny my basic, unalienable rights. I, an ambassador of Christ, like Paul, am asked to share the good news of freedom from the very same scriptures that have been used to justify enslaving me. The scriptures misused by America, our Pharaoh, while he transported our piled high bodies through the exodus of enslavement. The scriptures used to support his law when they were read out loud as he nailed me to the same cross that I was told released me from bondage. I, an ambassador for Christ, am suffering just as Christ suffered. I, an ambassador of Christ, consistently strangled.
I am dying of asphyxiation. I, an ambassador of Christ, was taught to stand in the churches and the temples with people who willfully deny my humanization and categorize me as a mere animal, a monkey, and still expect me to fearlessly declare the goodness of Jesus, all while there's a rope and a knee on my neck. To declaring he is good, even though I cannot believe. Y'all, family, I am weak. Chained and suppressed by questions that white privilege, white guilt, and black identity supply is burdened. Asking myself how to prepare messages for multi-ethnic churches and majority white churches, how do I not appear too political? How do I appeal to all sides?
How do I not appear too political? How do I appear to all sides? How to not be over dramatic? How do I explain that all lives matter only if black lives matter? How do I not alienate our allies? How do I use inclusive terminology? How do I not sell out for my own people? How do I negate other people of color? How do I speak the truth of Jesus? How do I represent God? How do I practice holy boldness? Am I willing to offend for the sake of Christ? How do I defend the peaceful protest of Kaepernick while, though not in agreement to the looting, share that I understand the emotion behind those who riot? How do I get them to understand that practicing Christianity out loud is a privilege that was fought and died for just as we fight and die now? We have all tried our hardest to endure through things like COVID-19, and I add how it disproportionately affected Black communities. Then the news of the shooting of Ahmaud Arbery came. Directly behind that, the killing of Breonna Taylor, followed by the murder of George Floyd, which resulted in protests both peaceful and unpeaceful. And then, to rub dirt on our wounds, we elected into office officials who openly work against Black and brown people and communities because the thought of a Black woman or man in charge creates way too much fear. And subsequently, the lifting of a figure like Charlie Kirk is celebrated despite the cringing rhetoric and spewed overtly racist commentary that continue to depict African Americans as ultimately less than human. For most of us, the pressure is insurmountable. Most of us are too weighed down, and many of us too confused and overwhelmed to know what to even pray for and even how to pray. And so, in a moment of true honesty and transparency, I admit that I have had no idea in this season just what to even pray for. And as I sat with my thoughts, God, how long? God, how much more? God, is it supposed to be this way? God, are you real? God, are you ever going to answer? God, do we ever move from this moment? And then I was led to Paul's letter to Rome. At a time when racial, economic, and cultural tensions were on the rise, specifically between the Jews and Gentiles, Paul takes the time to address the very cultures he stands between. Born of one culture, raised of privilege. At one point in his life, Paul was the one who screamed, "All lives matter." Blinded by that very same privilege and ready to execute those who protest, those who would dare to challenge the established religious system and doctrine of the day, it wasn't until God completely blinded him that Paul was able to hear and then eventually see the truth of God past his own internal thoughts. And thus, Paul, now converted from an ignorant prisoner of pride to a fully aware and willing prisoner of the Lord, has humbly accepted the strength of weakness. It is at this crossroads of awareness that Paul is awakened. It is here where Paul and Ramon share the burden of responsibility to a vast diversity of people. It is here where people like Pastor Andrew, and I dare say all of you and us, we are called. It is the intersection of humbled weakness and heightened awareness that we have inherited a responsibility to look far beyond the status quo and the norms. It's that place where we are challenged to admit that privilege over other humans cannot exist or survive in Christ. Only those who are willing to choose to be weak for the sake of God's strength will last. Only those who are willing to shackle themselves by the chains of equity and nail themselves together to the cross for the sake of righteous freedom. Y'all, I am weak. And it is here at this very place of willful torment that I find myself, unsure of what to say and how to lead, ambiguously ripped between righteous indignation for the minority and just outright being pissed off at the majority. I am weak. Crying, desolate, and weak. It is at this place that I am lost for words, bereaved of peace, and lost for empathy. God, I am weak. And Paul, who is vexed in some of the same conflict, instructs us and educates us. Romans 8. I don't have a slide, so I'll speak it slowly. In the same way, the Spirit helps us in our weakness. We do not know what we ought to pray for, but the Spirit himself intercedes for us through wordless groans. And he who searches our hearts knows the mind of the Spirit, because the Spirit intercedes for God's people in accordance with the will of God. Earlier in Romans 5, we are told that all of creation and the universe is unsettled and longs for restoration to our Creator. Although we were separated from God and then redeemed through the death of Jesus, we have not been fully restored to our original state. And because of that separation, all of creation feels its effects. The universe and all of it encompasses, and all it encompasses, longs for restoration. Like a baby cries for its mother, we cry for the restoration to be rightfully restored to who we are in Christ. Amen. Paul reminds us that in tough times, when we are speechless, when we don't have the words to say, when we are tired, when we are lost, when we are just unsure where the world is headed, where our country is headed, in those times, the Holy Spirit literally speaks for us. God actually speaks from us, through us, back to God. And when I wrote the song Breathe and Rock that I hope you will catch later, I wrote it because sometimes we all have to go to God in just moans and groans, by just simply breathing and rocking and hoping. And our prayers are silent because we're crying, God, I don't know what to do. And sometimes all you have is cry and tears and yelling and questioning, God, where are you? It's an admittance that we don't have all the answers, that we are not God. And that's exactly where what should humble us. Paul, after his encounter with Christ, chooses to leave his privilege of being with the majority behind, and he attaches himself to the fight of the minority. He leaves the comfort of the law and uses his education to support the cry of Jesus, the very same privilege that allowed him to blindly write off and martyr a people who did not look like him. He has now chosen to abandon. He has turned from upholding the laws to now rebelling and protesting against them. He has willingly gone from hunting to being the hunted. Oh, Paul, what have you done? Why have you joined the side of those thugs? Why have you attached yourself with those looters and those rioters? Why would you be seen with those animals? Don't you recall, Paul, that we hunt them down like game? Don't you understand that we lock them up? Don't you understand that we rape them? Don't you see that we persecute them? Don't you see that our system is built to lock them up and keep them in jail? Paul, who of good stock, what hunter would deliberately align themselves with the hunted? Perhaps Paul, now a great student of Jesus, related to the humility of God, a God who could have just wiped out the human race, but chose instead to experience it for himself firsthand. A creator who didn't have to come to earth, but when he did, he chose to be born and birthed in a lonely manger in some hay. Perhaps Paul recognized a Messiah who was not bound by gravitational rules, that chose not to fly, not to drive, not to come in on an elephant, not to ride a horse, not to ride a camel, but instead came in on a funny-looking donkey. Perhaps Paul recalled that his majesty did not network necessarily with the Pharisees and the Sadducees and those in established power, but rather Jesus aligned himself with the lower class, the impoverished, the disenfranchised, and the ghetto. And so, Paul chooses to take the risk of a former oppressor and bravely walks into the streets with the oppressed in hopes of his own redemption. He understood that in order for all lives to matter, not only does the Jews matter, but now the Gentiles must matter. He understood that in order for all lives to matter, that the poor must matter. And so he commits to the side of the oppressed. And as he joins the marches and the protests, as he faces the same mentality that led him down the road of Damascus in hopes to slaughter the voices screaming for equality, as he confronts the bigotry and discrimination he once was a part of, he understands that this fight is not just about the flesh. Paul uses his prophetic voice and makes a spiritual declaration. He calls out the mentality of evil, the spiritual forces that we don't see that are at work, for our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against rulers, against the authorities, against the powers of this dark world, and against the spiritual forces of evil in heavenly realms. If you were to ask me, Pastor Ray, why is it so much more difficult to fight against violence and racism in this day? I would answer with one word: mentality. It is no longer just about discrimination or segregation, white counters here, black counters here, white bathrooms here, black bathrooms here. It is now hidden because it is no longer outwardly, it is inwardly. And so I have the ability now to walk down the street and be racist and you never know it. So we fight not against just the actions of our oppressors, but we fight the mentality that we don't often see, the spiritual wickedness, the forces, the powers, the rulers of darkness that we don't often see. What then, Paul, must we do? Who then, Paul, must we rely on? How then, Paul, do we confront this evil? Because Paul, I'm tired. Paul, I'm weary. Paul, I'm worn. But Paul, who in his letter to Ephesians calls out spiritual oppression, has prophetically answered his own question back in his letter to the Romans. In Paul's conversion, his dedication to follow the leadership and servanthood of Christ, it's in his inclination to submit to Christ that he finds the keys to fighting the mentality of racism and oppression, the spiritual and demonic influences, and the strongholds. We don't always talk about this in churches anymore because some people have labeled it as spooky, but it's real. Paul, now the hunted, now is the persecuted, says this in his commitment to spiritual reform. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? So trouble or hardship or persecution or famine or nakedness or danger or sword, is it is in written for your sake. We face death all day long. We are considered as sheep to be slaughtered. No. In all these things, we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. For I am convinced that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor demons, nor the present, nor the future, nor any powers, neither height, nor depth, nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God that is in Christ our Jesus. Family, I am weak. I am weak from the decades, centuries of blood that runs from sea to shining sea. I am weak from the endless names that have been omitted from our history books, who were tossed like unwanted trash over the wooded boats into the abyss of the raging oceans. I am weak from the countless young people who are incarcerated for drugs that were used as weapons in the Reagan era, as the majority infiltrated our communities with illegal substances in order to wipe out our existence. I am weak from the label of deadbeat father, when in truthness it was the white masters who raped our women and then left us and sold us into the fields of slavery. Those were the deadbeat fathers. I am weak. But, everybody say but I am hopeful. I am hopeful. Pastor Andrew was like, where's the peace coming? Here we go. I am hopeful that in my weakness, God's strength is made strong. I am hopeful that the majority will encounter the true and the real Jesus and convert to the side of the minority in the fight for justice. I am hopeful that in our redemption, we are being reconnected to God that is on the side of the oppressed. I am hopeful that we are arming ourselves for a battle against wickedness of injustice by wearing the shackles of faith. I am hopeful that an encounter with God is turning a road to murder into a journey for freedom. I am hopeful that you are listening. I am hopeful that you are posting. I am hopeful that you are acting. I am hopeful that you are sponsoring. I am hopeful that you are protesting. I am hopeful that you are going above and beyond to ensure that America does not go back to a place that was never great for some people, but that a new America is being built that will be great for all people. I am hopeful that I no longer have to cry for injustice, but that I can cry for the sake of justice being served. I'm hopeful that you will finally accept me. I am hopeful that you will finally accept us. I am hopeful that you will finally allow me to be me authentically. It's in this hope that I find my peace. It's this hope that allows me to understand peace, a peace that only comes from the Holy Spirit, a peace that only God can provide, a peace that sustains our faith, a peace that enables us to breathe, a peace that gives us glimpses into the future, a peace that passes all understanding. It is a peace that means we are willing to show up, to connect ourselves, and ultimately to be uncomfortable. I am willing to be uncomfortable because when I am comfortable, God has the ability to guide and lead. I move myself out of the way and I allow God to fight my battles. That when I know God is fighting, when I know God is really fighting, that is where we find our peace. God, I just thank you for this word. I thank you for your Holy Spirit. I thank you for conviction. I thank you for challenge. I thank you for guidance. I thank you for your love. I thank you for allowing us to show up no matter what we look like, how we talk, how we speak, how we were raised. I'm grateful that you use us no matter what, that no person is banned from your love. No person, every person is welcome into your place, into your heart. God, thank you. Move through us, challenge us, love us, guide us, and we yield to your peace in the name of Jesus.